Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. We are the podcast on the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love, and we're joined here today by some very special guests.
Yeah, we're here with Julio Torres and Ana Fabrega. You guys want to say hi?
Hello. Hello.
Of Los Spookies on HBO, the whole thing's available on HBO Go.
You can watch it, folks.
Should be watching it already.
If you have a way to watch things.
At the people who listen to our show are already fans of yours. Just like, it's just like, that's just the way it is.
Great, let's fire up the base.
Yeah, you're speaking to your base, right now. Yeah, it's like, for sure. It's like, you
know. Let's do a rally at a comfortable turf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a one tiny sound bite and their hearts are already a flutter.
Okay. Yeah. They're like, what? Mm-hmm.
Jealous.
Freaking out. But yeah, you know, I think because the show's so artistic, like obviously it's like, and you know, a lot of the weirdo folks who are like, you know, similar age to us, like at similar reference points. And I think it's just perfect for our audience.
Yeah. If you haven't watched it yet, go ahead and watch it.
Yeah.
Listen to this and then watch it. Or watch it and then listen to this. Stop here, watch it, then listen.
Or may come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can come back. It's fine. But yeah, it's a really special show because it's, you know, HBO doesn't do Spanish language shows really at all. Is it the first, well, they have HBO Latino.
Yeah, it is the first Spanish, not foreign language, because I believe they have
an Italian drama.
But it is the first Spanish language show where it has been presented along with like the rest of their
on HBO
their lineup.
Normal quote unquote HBO right. versus
yes,
HBO
yeah, she,
Latino.
She made air quotes. It's fine.
Like, yeah, because it is stupid that these things are, like, segregated, that there's, like, a Latino Emmy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the networks do that, right?
Yeah,
like,
they do.
All the streaming services do that, where it's, like, if it's in English, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it's in any other language, it's only for the people who speak that language.
And it's so counterproductive when they make, like, whole separate channels or award shows or whatever for, like, Latinos or something, because it's in trying to be inclusive, you're just putting people, keeping them away from the English speaking people. It doesn't benefit anybody.
And it happens in TV a lot, but I mean, it's like, doesn't happen in film, I guess, right? Where like,
I mean, it's
people
sort
will
of,
go and watch a foreign film with
subtitles.
Well,
there'll
be
subtitles. Like best foreign language.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, like, they
and then
they
all
don't
the languages are lumped
with,
together.
Yes.
Although this past year they had Roma in the you know, not as just foreign language. It was in with all the other ones.
It's a good trend because you know it's you know Western imperialism at work. The fact that things have to be in English, or like the English is pushed as like it must be continue to be the dominant language or whatever.
Yeah, man, English speaking hegemony gotta go down.
Well, and the thing is, you can continue only speaking English and watch these shows because they are subtitled. So that's okay. You can continue not learning any other language. That's perfectly okay.
I did tweet that Los Spookies is my favorite anime.
You know, it, like a lot of friends have made that connection. And I completely agree with it. I mean, most especially, I think like my corners of it are especially anime with the hair and with Spike especially.
Mm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spike
right.
being like looking like a full like Sailor Moon villain.
Yes. Yeah.
In it, you will never defeat me.
I think Andreas too looks like, you know, the Prince, Prince Demond from Sailor Moon.
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yeah, like, yeah. Definitely.
Dreamy.
Oh, it's perfect. It's just perfect. Yeah. Like, I always actually think about this, like how a lot of the aesthetics of the villains or the like shittier people and like it, like are all so cool and like just as cool as like all the sets are, like even the dentist's office or like the like like in the last episode, like the therapy room, like all these.
That was,
sets,
I think, my favorite interior in the show.
They're so good, and they're like all so like, yeah, beautiful.
Design is exceptional.
Yeah, we were so lucky to have Jorge. Is the name of the our art director?
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And he's so funny.
And he was really funny,
like,
and
like really funny choices.
Really understood. Yeah, the sense of humor of the show.
Yeah.
And then made it look beautiful and then would add details that were so funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, everybody was talking about the wardrobe, too. And then I saw you guys post the interview with the woman.
With Muriel. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's so fucking good.
She's so cool.
How much of...
Also very funny.
How much of the design was sort of, like collaborative? Because I know, like Julia, you have kind of an aesthetic practice with, like... My favorite shapes and stuff. And it's like finding the personality.
No, you know, with Andres, it was really fun to let Muriel follow her heart and do her job. And then I feel like it was collaborative in the way that, like, all the actors collaborated with her.
Yeah.
Like, the decision for him to have blue hair and be, like, regal in some capacity was just, like, the only direction that she got. And then, like, I personally hate ruffles. And then it's, like, it's that thing of, like, you see them in the rack. You see them in the rack and you start sweating. And then you put it on and it's, like, oh, no, okay, you're right.
It fits on.
You're absolutely right. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, you had...
Oh, my God, the J-Lo moment.
ABC, no, but Anna had, like, ABCD, like, You have been sketching Tati for
years.
For years.
Really?
It was utterly inflexible. that was not a collaboration.
Well, when we were working on the pilot, you know, we were looking at wardrobe for Andres and Ronaldo and Ursula, and it's all, like, really cool. It really fits what we had in mind. And then we get to Tati, and they didn't understand what exactly... or who Tati was. So the reference
thing is,
photo...
they did, but they just hoped that they weren't right.
Yeah. But they wanted to make Tati look really cool, so they had, like, pictures of Grimes as references.
Oh my God, no.
And I was like, no. It's like this. And I showed them, like, a picture of me in an outfit that's, like, a Tati outfit, and a picture of the little cap. I need
beat
these.
Beat of sweat down Muriel's forehead.
Yeah, sorry. Like, Tati needs to look like a little newspaper boy. Like,
And I went through the rack and I picked the things that she had that day that were, like, the closest to what it should have been. And I was like, and these little, like, shorts should, you know, they should be this long and whatever.
Unflattering.
Yeah. And she was like, but that looks bad. I was like, yeah, exactly. I know. She's like, but why do you want to look bad? Like, it's meant to look bad.
Right.
And then once she understood that, she nailed it and would go shopping. And she was like, I have to go to the
best stuff.
Yeah. She would bring the funniest things. And she was like, I have to go to the worst thrift stores to find your clothes. Because none of the, like, cool thrift stores carry this kind of stuff.
My favorite Tati accessory is the knockoff Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, the little white bag. I also love, this is a detail that nobody sees, but the little necklace that she has, it's like a little cork bottle top, and it has
what's in it?
Four leaf clovers, and it says luck.
Oh,
that beautiful. Is wearing a little luck necklace.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm losing my mind. That's so funny.
Yeah.
This is like how I react when I'm watching Los Espookies too. I'm like just losing my mind. I'm just like, how is this happening?
Awesome.
Anytime Tati has a funny, like, fancy outfit moment, I lose my mind. Like the flapper date look and
the flapper date look,
the J-Lo.
Oh yeah, the plunging neckline. Oh my God.
Freaked out. That's so funny. The Jackie O outfit.
Also the jobs. Like, damn, what wonderful jobs.
Talk about a gig economy.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Totally.
We were going to get into that.
She's finding herself.
Yeah.
She's truly finding herself.
Yeah. I like that there was such a strong thread of, like, employment throughout the whole thing where everyone is really, like, working on finding ways to either, like, get their own business started or get, like, hired to do something that's just totally ridiculous. And I'm like, it feels like a lot of jobs that I think many of us have had, like, where you're just can you just be my assistant and you just make this fan turn when there's no electricity? Like,
Truly. Yeah. Like the Craigslist world being like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Julio, you came from working at an art gallery.
I worked as an art archivist and an art foundation.
Yeah.
Wait, no, but I also worked at an art gallery for like a little bit.
Yeah, because I remember you were
at Life on Mars Gallery on Bogart Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The place is cool.
And, yeah. And I remember you had an artist visa, like before you were hired at SNL and whatever. But
I got an artist visa after a work visa. And with that work visa, I was an archivist for a while. And then I always had, not always, but the jobs I had for the longest were like art adjacent.
Yeah,
because
I feel like that's what me and Lucia picked up a bit, like from like the types of jobs the Spookies would do. Were mm-hmm. Just these like, you know, like like working for artistic people is like that. Like they're just
temperamental. Like, they and like all these the demands are.
Yeah.
One time I was a personal assistant for one day, for this one person who. So a friend really did me a solid and like hooked me up with someone who needed a personal assistant. And I mean, if you know me even a little bit, you know, I have no business helping anyone organize anything, helping like being like productive in that way of their lives, anything. Yeah. I have a lot to contribute, but like that is not one of my talents. And she was just like, it truly like in those few hours, I learned how money can afford you, just like how relaxed you can be when you have money. So she had never met me in her life, right? I walk in and she's like, she had just moved in into this apartment. She's like, so my phone's broken. So I need you to like go find like a place to like fix my phone because it's broken.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, easy. And then she's like, okay, so here's my phone. And take my card, take my credit card, my phone and take my credit card because I also want to wash a dryer.
Oh my God.
I had a job like this one time
where I had to get 5 iPads from the Apple store with someone else's ID and credit card.
Just go get me 5 iPads.
Yeah, and the first person that I talked to was like, this isn't, wait, hold on. Do you have ID for this card? And I was like,
No, you can't go and buy 5 iPads with a card that's not yours.
Yeah. No.
I just found a car on the street. Can I get 5 iPads?
It's like these people are from like a lost New York where they're just like, boy, go to Bergdorf's and get me 20 packs of cigarettes and put it on my line of credit.
But like what I thought was incredible was that someone would hand their phone and their credit card to someone they didn't know.
Yeah.
But then I thought, oh, if I were to, you know, if I like had malice and like ran away, neither of these would be a problem for her.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
They just because find you on the grid
because,
system.
Because when you have money, it doesn't matter if you lose your phone. It doesn't matter if you lose your credit card. Like, it inconveniences you for a couple of hours and then it just all gets solved.
It's true. It's wild.
Totally true. You just get put back together by magic hands.
Truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever have like any gigs like that, Anna? Did you ever work in those type of
very
field?
Solid.
Yeah, pretty. I worked in restaurants before I got an office job, and then I worked at the same job for many years before I quit and did this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I never had like odd jobs.
So pure.
Only jobs.
You just had like jobs. Nothing like
jobs.
It's
singular.
Like just regular manipulation. Like,
but yeah, even working for like a regular boss can be very weird in particular. And like sometimes even when I was working in an office setting, and like sometimes my like superior, like, you know, some of the publishers of the magazine I was working for or whatever would like send me on similar like errands or like one of my jobs was to arrange like $200 worth of flowers every week.
Oh.
And like put those all around the office and like I got really obsessed with doing that. Like,
I mean, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice.
I mean,
yeah.
It was very, it was a reprieve for me, and I really enjoyed doing it. But at the same time, they would have all these unpaid interns in the office, and then they were like totally underpaying me, and like, and I was just like, so we spend $200 on flowers every
right.
week.
Right.
We can't afford to pay all these like copy editors and shit. Like, oh God.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
But I loved doing it. It's just like, it's just so particular too. And the like rich people are so like, you can't get this type of flower. You can't get this type of color. You can't get like, it just kind of reminded me of your work.
Like, I know. Like, yeah, so delicate.
Yeah.
So like breakable.
Sensibilities, mm-hmm. like,
so
you're going to offend them.
You know, psyches that are like, especially like wealthy art people.
Yeah.
It's like their brains are just like a Jenga tower. Mm-hmm. Truly, awesome. Like, don't move too quickly. Don't move that piece. Yes. You got to move the piece, but do it slowly.
Yes. Oh my God. I keep trying to explain that to people when I'm like introducing friends who are not a part of like my art life into situations.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, no. Don't be enthusiastic about anything until you like are, you know, it's like just chill, approach very slowly. Like,
but we
I give,
enable them.
Yeah.
We're all enablers like, of, yeah.
It's delicate.
Yeah.
They'll
shatter.
Well, we enable them, but we're also coerced into enabling them because we need the gig.
Of course, of course.
Like, yeah. What are we supposed to do?
Don't ruin this for me.
Yeah.
It kind of like, me and Lucia were talking a little bit about the episode of Los Spookies, where they are aliens. Everybody's
yes.
Oh yeah,
yes. aliens. Yeah. And like the lady is so difficult the whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah, she's like, that's not how you talk.
heavily inspired by truth.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few years.
It's like, yeah. By my therapist.
Look forward to that.
Yeah. Have me back in 5 years.
Yeah. Right, you have to get out of like the statute of limitations first.
Yes,
like,
yeah. I believe we're still in a gray area.
Oh my God, I totally understand. But I wanted to talk about visas. Like that was,
yeah.
I brought that up before, and that's like right. a large part of the show is like, you know, like Ronaldo wants to go to LA to work with his idol and stuff. And it's just like, you know, it like, to us,
right,
it's
he
like,
can't just do
yeah,
it.
He can't just do mm-hmm. it. It's like to us in New York, it's like, oh, well, we'll just take a plane to California or whatever.
Right,
but
right,
like,
right.
it's like, you can't, even though it's Mexico's like so close. Well, it's not Mexico, it's like fictional.
But yeah. geographically, they're sort of close.
Yeah. But it's such a hindrance. And then it's like, it's the way you guys depict it as this like labyrinthian, like fucked up bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then also fantastical and weird.
And then there are like gatekeepers that could totally help you with just like the drop of a pen. You can just write a thing and then mm-hmm. people are allowed to do something. And then
right.
so easy for them.
I mean, the whole,
write a bribe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, immigration as a whole is so like Kafkaesque and it's yeah. so like, it's a very flawed board game. Like rules contradict rules.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then at the end of the day, it's very, it's not even like robotic because it's like, you know, humans are making these decisions. So it's,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just,
so my experience with people that work in, that part of government is at least in, with Panamanian people mm-hmm. I've met who do that have been involved in that work is that you know they're all appointed because they're friends of whoever was elected. They have no business being there.
You mean like
at the consulates?
You mean like
yeah.
ambassadors? Yeah. Yeah.
And they are just going to do favors for people they know. When there was mm-hmm. someone who was working there who my sister worked at the consulate for a little while in New York, and she and then her boss was like, do you want Spanish citizenship? And I was like, okay. He's like, I can get you Spanish citizenship if you want it. I can get
oh
you a Spanish
God.
Passport because your parents, you know, your great grandparents are from
yeah,
Spain,
yeah.
and like we
drug
can just do that, like,
or something.
Like it's nothing. And I was like, what?
God.
I don't have to go through the whole like the song and dance. No. She's like, no, I'll help you with it. And I was like, wow, this system sucks. What
yeah.
about the people that don't have that, you know, aren't in front of you? They don't. I mean, I didn't know the guy personally.
Right.
But yeah, it was really like, oh, I get what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Imagine if we had a system that like was comprehensive and worked like for people.
Imagine that.
Even like my parents, I remember they were living in the U.S. for, I don't know, 15 years or so before they were able to get citizenship. They had green cards and stuff, mm-hmm. and it took them so long. And they had been living and working in the States forever. And I remember, I didn't understand much of it, but it was when I was like 12 or so. We were going to go on a trip, like a family vacation, and my mom... once we got to the airport or something, she realized she didn't have her green card with her, mm-hmm. and she was going to miss the flight. And that was the first time that I was like, even knew that that was something that happened. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand the, like, why all the hoops to jump through. It's like,
yeah, and then well, like,
and every hoop is also meant to be discouraging. Every visa is so expensive because the hope is that the person won't be able to afford it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like they're operating under the. America's at capacity.
It's the most insane. Every time people are like, we can't have more people here. I'm like, look at Nebraska. Look at how big, look how big that state is and how small the population is.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
We have plenty of room.
Yeah. Come on. We got to kickstart those cornfields, people.
Yeah.
Oh, what is
so
America
much,
if not a big old farmland so going to
scarcity,
waste?
Scarcity is like something we talk about on the show a lot. It's like scarcity is fake. There's room for everybody, like there's enough resources for everybody. There's no reason why it should be any different to travel to Mexico than it is to travel from New York to California or whatever the hell.
It's like, yeah, because where you're born determines how far you can go easily, right?
Totally.
So like as a Salvadorian, you're born in a country that's the size of Jersey, which means that you can roam around freely and hassle-free in a turf that's the size of New Jersey.
Fucking hell,
and then like branching out after that, it's like, okay, you want to go to Guatemala, you need like this thing. You want to go to Honduras and you need this thing. You want to go to Mexico, it gets a little harder, you need this thing. You want to go to the States, well then that's like a lifetime commitment in like trying to come here. Yeah. And yeah, that's like something that like even having to go like realizing, oh, I can't have a layover in Canada. Because if I have a layover in Canada, I'm going to need a Canadian visa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because I'm not in the list of countries that, like, Canadians will just, like, let in.
Yeah. That stuff, when after we shot Los Espookies and we were going to take a little trip and we were looking into different countries to go to, seeing that, like, okay, I don't need a visa as an American if I want to go to Argentina. But if I want to go to, was it Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brazil, you would need a visa. Like, there was just so many...
Right.
Yeah, those rules
oh,
of like...
yeah, so the Venn diagram of everybody traveling together and where
crazy.
Everybody starts out from
yeah. mm-hmm.
eliminates a ton of possibilities if you want to go on just like a simple vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And those are most of those are like retaliation against the U.S. being like, no, people from your country can't just show up here. They need a visa. So
right.
then they're like, right, fuck you. They can't come to our country either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's starting to change for people that are just like US citizens too, where other countries are starting to say like, oh, maybe we'll change the status for Americans to travel abroad as well. And we're just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Never. No, we can go anywhere all the time.
You can go anywhere all the time without paying like a fee to get in or anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's classist and it's racist and it like, you know, you see like the right wing characterize immigration as an invasion, and then like you see
mm-hmm.
at the same time like mass shooters using that characterization fucking enforce like violent white supremacy. Like it's all related.
So apropos of the news.
But like the thing about Los Espookies is it handles these like really dense, like heavy emotional topics and like and just make like puts it into the like sort of Dadaist framework of like it's so fucked up, but you know we're also going to like make an absurd like set about it and have fun. I don't know to while we're doing
it. Yeah, I mean it's a silly like, fun show.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of like I read an interview or I mean it was I don't know it was like a piece that forget what you know. There's so many outlets, but the writer was saying like, oh, well, you know, this isn't like a particularly political show or like, but it is just by nature of who everyone is and how everyone's living. It's like the politics of just experiencing the world, and like this is what we're picking up, and this is how we're like dealing with things. Is that should be considered political, but people for some reason in media are like, no, it's only political if you directly address things and like use people that are in the government currently to talk about, like,
yeah, like, it has to be topical.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, it has to be direct,
right,
for it to be
ripped
political
from the headlines for it to be political, which is a very recent way of using that word, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, are you saying that like political art has always just been a political cartoon? Like, what?
Yeah. They really like are reducing it into being like, so all of a sudden, like the work that we've done through postmodern concepts of like the personal being political and like feminist intersectionality or just anything that's saying like, no, my experience, though it is subjective, is just as like important as whatever we think like objective truth is. Like, that's a politics in itself, but we don't for some reason talk about this show in that same framework. And I guess maybe it's like too heady and art schooly or something to go down that route, but like, it's weird that nobody's picking up on it.
I think more outlets should be picking up on these aspects of the show, because I think it's like, it makes the show so much more compelling and like, and
there's,
you know,
levels.
Yeah, there's levels. Like, I don't know, like I can relate to it, like the visa stuff, even though I'm a U.S. citizen, like, and I have a ton of privilege to travel wherever I want. But like, I'm trans. Anytime I travel, I totally shave. I like just like, I'm a woman. Hey, what's up? Nothing weird here. And like, and that's like,
they're hoops.
Just a weird little like,
they're hoops and dances and schemes that you have to go through.
Like, why should I have to do that? Like, it's so stupid. And I don't want to change my marker on my fucking passport because I don't want to be targeted as somebody who has done that or whatever. Like, you know, it's all very stressful.
I like to go through airports with my laptop because it's got a bunch of stickers on it, like eat the baby boomers and like, you know, pictures of guns that say like, we're looking for people who like to draw. Yeah, like those skulls and like, you
which
know.
Which is from like an anarchist
eat
text
cops
that we
and, like, yeah. I like to just, I just like to use my privilege to just fuck with the TSA.
Oh, it's also so like the ritual itself is like, it's notable. Like all the sort of like rituals people do, like to like go over these like arbitrary markers is like a whole, like it is like a labyrinth. It's a whole song and dance. Like it's, And like, our personal experiences can be political, and like people should recognize that more. And when we were talking more about like these like ripped from the headlines stuff, like I noticed in one of your interviews, Julio, you were talking about like how on SNL you were writing these like Melania moments and how you stopped wanting to write those as much.
Yeah, well, I wrote those, but I think and I like look back on them and I like them.
Yeah.
I think that they capture our perception of a person at a certain point in time. But that has obviously changed. I think that the, I think that very early on, we were trying to find a likable character to hold on to in that universe, right? So we were like, okay, so here is this like Reign of Terror.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess she'll be the princess trapped in the Reign of Terror.
Yeah.
And then as we like, as the days went by, and then like we started, you know, feeling the layers,
truly,
it was like, okay, no, never mind.
Yeah.
She's not trapped. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it must feel weird to do, like, topical satirical work, like, when all this stuff keeps, like, getting worse and worse, or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, the closest I've gotten to something like that, I think.
You mean as far as what you write, or?
Yeah. I think I...
Because, like, your sketches are, like, widely lauded. Like, you, people have written whole articles on Wells for Sensitive Boys.
And, sure.
These ones that are, like, universal. And I feel like we'll, like, last in the SNL canon forever because, like, it's like, that sketch in particular is so good. Like, it's timeless. Like, there's no, like, current politic to... Like, overwrite it in the future or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I talk about personal, like, storytelling through comedy. Like, it's, I think a lot of people can relate to that sort of upbringing, being queer and liking sensitive things.
Yeah, yeah. Wanting to be off in a corner.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking also about your special coming out soon, right?
Yeah.
Like the 10th?
The 10th.
Yeah.
You've really done your research.
I mean, okay, so here's something for folks at home. Me and Lucia have known Anna and Julio for a really, really long time, if you guys haven't picked that up.
Yeah. through fellow spooky Lorelai Ramirez.
Yes. Yeah.
Through Do Something.
Through Do Something.
Yeah.
Back in the day, me and Lucia used to help out Lorelai's open mic at the defunct Tandem Bar.
Love Tandem.
Yeah.
It was like so sloppy, so gross. Were you there that Do Something, Anna? Where I think Lorelai was like, I think someone peed in the
corner. I don't remember if I was there, but I definitely heard about it.
And someone fully peed in the corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking
Anna's like, shaking her head.
No, there were so many crazy things that happened. I remember when there were people who like met in the audience and then went to go have sex in the bathroom.
Yes.
That was another one.
Yes.
Yeah. It was lots of fun.
Loved it.
It was a place where I couldn't sit down without touching the surface I was about to sit on because it was probably sticky.
Sticky, always.
And we would always get there early to set up all the tables and shit.
Yeah,
and
like, everyone's like sitting on benches.
Like, we had to set up all those benches.
Yeah.
God damn.
Cute.
It also blew my mind when I learned that they did brunch. Blew my mind.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. Yeah. They had brunch.
My mind.
How do you see this place in the light of day?
Near the end when I think... Tandem was just really trying to, like, you know, like...
Stay relevant.
To, like, it was, like, being, like, no, man, gotta get a job, gotta get sober. I can't keep doing this. I'm gonna have brunch.
Let's try serving hollandaise sauce.
A little too late.
Yeah, I wonder, because now there's, what, Mad Tropical is the bar there? Is that still there?
I've never fucking been over there.
I don't go there anymore.
Other people started hosting shows there, so I had been there twice since it stopped being Tandem. But I don't know if Mad Tropical is still around.
Who knows? I mean, it was always in a weird spot because it's like kind of residential, and I'm sure the neighbors just hate it.
Right.
Yeah,
it's on a very residential street.
Yeah, but... So we know, like, from your earliest career, like, you know, you quitting your job and doing comedy and, like, through
everything. I want to loop back around. I want to just cut you off.
No. I'm like,
I want to interrupt this thought.
Boom. No, sorry.
No, you're totally fine.
Okay, so I was actually talking to Lorelai about this thing because I was like picking up on the exorcism scene that happened in Los Spookies, and then I was talking to Lorelai because they did an exorcism scene like of their own, and I was just
Lorelai's always doing exorcism.
I know, totally,
constantly exorcising.
Yes, well, the demon goes back in. You gotta get it out. It's but then we were talking a little bit about it, and they were saying like, oh yeah, like it's this weirdly sort of like common experience to like turn on the TV and just be like, oh, these people are going through an exorcism, or like there's a lot of people that are like sort of like
in need of
they're like producing their own, or like it could be a spot on a like a news show that's like, oh, these people like had an exorcism, mm-hmm. or like it's just sort of like worked the triviality into of it. Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. That's just an everyday thing that you would experience, but you don't see it here because it's like not a part of mm-hmm. like New York culture, I guess. Right. Like,
exorcism are not a part of New York culture. No. But yeah, like truly, like again, like growing up in Latin America, it was like an exorcism. It was presented in the news as if like oh, someone got really sick, like oh, someone like someone has like malaria,
that is like a gig you could get, like helping shoot an exorcism, like being on
right,
the set,
right?
Like, oh my god,
yeah,
or like something that could happen to you or right. someone you know.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, can we talk about the news anchor also? That shit is
heaven.
So brilliant.
Yeah.
Like to have like this like perfectly manicured robot lady as the anchor, and then she has
the
to be replaced.
Candidate. Yeah.
I love that. Like it's great. It's great. The news is that manufactured. Like, I don't,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I love that actor. Oh, you love her too.
Yeah, she's great.
Everybody yeah. loves her. I wish she was here right now. What other kind of moments do you feel sort of are like reminiscent of that sort of like, oh, exorcisms are totally normal and something that, or I mean not totally normal, but like something
that
it's like, oh, here's a part of our life growing up that everyone is sort of like seeing as this, I guess, like the exchange is like, I don't know, growing up with this on a TV, like this to me is sort of like a sci-fi thing or whatever. But if
sure,
like, are there other moments that you sort of worked into the script or like into the
Herbalife?
Herbalife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like something that was around you when you were.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was like 16 when
right.
it entered my life.
Yeah.
It found you.
Yeah.
That's the first time I'd heard about it. But it is something that is like, they heavily target Hispanic people.
Yeah.
And it's a brand.
Hispanic women.
Yeah. You'll see it on like jerseys and like soccer fields and stuff like that, and
you'll get on the L train and like a lot
flyers.
Of people getting off Bushwick, they're wearing they're like fall prey to these schemes.
They target people who desperately need to be making more money,
mm-hmm.
and it's so fucking exploitative, and it's
it's very predatory.
Not quite as predatory because the time commitment was not equal, but do you know those people who, like, I don't know if they still do it, but like around Union Square or like heavily trafficked like Manhattan areas, they're like, excuse me, ma'am, can I talk to you about your hair? Excuse me, miss, can I talk to you about your hair? Do you know you know what I'm talking about? I did that for a week.
Wow.
And off of Craigslist. And the ad said that it paid, I think it was like $10 an hour. And I was like, sure, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I like did it. And I mean, the constant rejection of no one wanting to talk to me about their hair. Devastating.
I promise I'll make it good.
No one wanted to talk to me about their hair. But basically, what those people are doing is they're trying to sell passerbys on like salon packages. Right, you get like for like $50 or something, you get like a coupon to go to a salon and get like a blow dry or whatever. And those usually work for the same people who, hey, do you like comedy? Do you like to laugh?
Yeah.
Hey, do you, like those people
totally.
Who like do the same for like comedy clubs.
Yeah, definitely.
And after, I supposedly you got cash at the end of the week. Right?
No.
And at the end of the week, I ask for my salary, and the guy goes, oh, it's commission. You didn't make anything.
No!
Truly,
oh, my God.
Truly just, like, a dagger that I'm, like, still healing from. I remember just going, like, oh, okay. and then like crushed, and then just like turning around and going into the R train, even though the R train was taking me nowhere.
I just had to be shuttled somewhere else.
Yeah, just like shut, just the R train.
Take me away.
Take me to Rector Street.
Jeez,
it's awful. Like, cause like I just feel like, you know, people fall into these predatory things all the time. Like, I had a friend who like fell for like a scam trying to buy tickets somewhere, and she was like, "Yeah, I bought this card and like all this shit," and like it just happened to her like the other week, and I'm like, "Oh my god!"
No stranger is going to allow you to make easy money. If a friend is like, do this quick little thing and it'll be a bunch of money and you trust them, then sure, put in the time and do it. Yeah. But no stranger off the internet.
wants to help you make easy money.
Yeah. At all.
There's no shortage of like alienated, isolated people who don't have that network of support, who will just like take these jobs that don't pay anything and like just desperate. So it's like they thrive under capitalism, but it's awful, like, truly.
And it's also funny.
the type of people who are the executives for Herbalife or whatever the fuck, are just gotta be the most, like...
Oh, just awful people.
Yeah.
Just horrible people.
One of them was a former head of Disney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Came from Disney.
They're just, like, executives who are, like, I'm a business person. My job
people
is to make money.
Like,
I don't give a shit.
Making money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was watching that Netflix documentary. Oh, gosh. What's it called? It's like a docuseries called like Dirty Money, I think. Have you seen any of it?
Oh. No.
Every episode is about different like corporate fraud, basically. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or
is that
wrongdoing.
The one they did an episode about like VW?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I saw that.
But the episode, I watched one of them today about that payday lender. Who was like a race car driver.
Yes.
And
I know what you're talking about.
And then I was thinking about, oh yeah, like the payday loan industry is like perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they
tried to regulate it, but then they fought back.
Yeah.
The lobbyists fought back. And
yeah, they got to like continue doing this thing where their argument is, well, you should have read the fine print, and they're like,
yeah, they're all little tricks.
Yeah, it's all little tricks.
All nasty little tricks.
And it's legal. Flim-flam and this guy
is an art.
This guy was talking this guy made like $400 million taking money from poor people.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, basically had like no guilt, no remorse. He was so upset that they were making an example of him, and how dare they arrest him in front of his daughters. It was insane. I was like, you're a psychopath.
It's always like, yeah, it's like my reputation.
My reputation.
My name, mm-hmm. My beautiful name.
I think it was perfect you got John Early in that role.
He's so perfect villain. Yeah. Perfect villain.
Wasn't he also one of the little like stooges? Did he have two roles in the show?
No.
No,
he wasn't. No, you're mistaking him for Sam Taggart.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
God. That is
the
so stooges. Funny.
That's so funny. Yeah. The two white gays, like, come on. That's so funny. They're both perfect in those roles.
They could interchange.
Yes. I think they could do either. I'm kind of sad that I hope John's character isn't dead.
Actually, we don't know if he's dead or not. Because, you know, the actor made a choice of squirming till the end.
Yeah. So,
he might be alive. He might be, there's this, people not in America who like making fun of, like, telenovelas always make fun of this one that's, like, I think crossed over into, like, Tumblr gifdom, the woman who's yelling, you've probably seen this gif maybe, it's like a woman like aiming a gun at another woman in a wheelchair. Who's like one of the best villains in like cinema history, because the woman in the wheelchair, she caught the woman in the wheelchair like kissing the boy that she liked. And she's like aiming the gun at her, and then like the maid comes over and tries to stop her, and then like she pushes over the maid. I think she killed her in the encounter.
Double homicide.
Anyway, this woman ends up.
Wait, what's the show called?
Oh, you know, God.
I know exactly what you're
but
talking
you know,
about.
Like,
oh, I think everyone's gonna know. I'm just
everyone will know. Okay, the name of the villain, the name of the character is Soraya.
Okay.
Soraya Montenegro is the name of the villain.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
But anyway, she I think ends up getting not in that encounter, but eventually ends up getting like thrown off a window from like a skyscraper. And then, but then I'm connecting this back to John's character. Then, like, there's a scene in a hotel in a hospital, and she's covered in bandages. Like a cartoon. covered in bandages with truly just her lips showing. Yes. And she's going, revenge. Revenge. So maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. I hope that is all canon.
Revenge.
For second season. I was so stoked to see you guys got a second season. It was
so
like,
are we.
Yeah, I was excited.
It was incredible. Like, because, like, I are very, like, visionary shows like that. You never know if people are going to be like, sure, have three more seasons. Or, like, you're done. Because, like, I was so bummed because, like, I had a bunch of friends who were working on Tuca and Birdie, and that got canceled. And, like,
I'm surprised I got canceled.
I'm so surprised. Is it so good?
Was there an official statement as to why that? Because a lot of people that I know liked it.
I think,
and it was so fun. It was so good. Did you ever watch it?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen any of it. But I've only seen people say good things about
it. It's so exuberant, like really. I mean, talk about gig economy. That's really like the driving force.
But I remember getting
it.
That news and the Spookies news at the same time, and being like, "Oh, well, it's like, come on, this network's
they
taking
only
a
had
chance.
Room for
like,
one.
This other network should take a chance and like." Oh, they gotta give fucking Nick Kroll's show three more seasons, so I guess like they can't fucking.
Yeah, I don't know how a place that's as big as Netflix would determine whether to renew something or not, because they have so many shows that I'm like, okay, there's no way more people are watching that thing that you have three seasons of versus a show like this.
A show like what, like ours?
No, like
Tuca and Birdie.
Tuca and Birdie or something. Oh, you know. Because there was one day where I was just like scrolling through all the Netflix originals, and there were some that I was like,
never in my life.
Never in my life have I heard of this. Never seen anything about it online. It's who was watching this?
It's bizarre. And then Netflix has a whole thing about like they're very cagey about releasing their numbers for things, and like, you know, they're like obsessed with keeping up appearances.
They don't want to turn it into like the Instagram model or something.
I wonder if there's any fake it till you make it happening over there. I've never looked at their financials. I would love to take a look.
Yes,
pull up
Anna.
Anna,
turn over
Anna, get down to it. Anna is a full transparency.
Anna would like to see your paper.
but I wonder, like, are they, because they make so much, they have so much money, and it's all that, you know, that bet of like this will produce money, but is it producing?
Or is it producing like access in some weird way that, you know, that we're not privy to? Like, is it like a favor for somebody and so they can get a different show made or whatever?
Yeah,
like,
I don't
know. Maybe it's weird politics. Or like, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, there's like so much Silicon Valley money in entertainment that like, you know, I'm sure Netflix is just having money thrown at it from like hedge funds and all that kind of stuff. And
we're going to laugh. Make a show. Wait, I'm bored. Make another one.
I feel like actually a lot of these Silicon Valley companies, Netflix and Uber, I'm thinking of both, are actually in a huge amount of debt. They operate
they do.
Loss or whatever.
It's like the Amazon model.
Totally.
Right. It's like, so they just like just have so much, but it like technically they're like hardly declaring profit at all.
Yeah.
Not me. No credit. No credit. No credit cards.
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
Yes.
Right?
Never.
I agree.
Cash business, baby.
Never. My dad made me terrified of credit because he's terrified of credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to be caged to that shit. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not for it.
I think that credit is... I don't think that people should be forced to rely on credit, and I think that that's a problem with credit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine to have credit, but I think to like turn away people because they don't have a history of credit or things like that are like so unfair.
It's discriminatory.
Yeah.
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 Like straight up.
But as a user of a credit card, well, the awesome thing is I get points. And I get
points.
Travel points.
I can travel. I get a lot of perks.
Yeah, it's a lot of really great perks.
Yeah, no, I was just talking to somebody that I work with about, like, not only, like, having lines of credit and building credit with like small purchases that you can easily pay back. But then also there are like all these different kind of like savings and retirement funds that you can sign up for. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, what? Dude, I spend every single cent that I have. Every time I get a cent, I spend it on something. And I don't know a lot of people, especially like in creative industries, who don't operate this way. So I'm just like, what? This is amazing. You're amazing. You have a credit card? What's it like?
But I will say I have, like, my parents are... I don't know where I learned to be very strict with a credit card, but like ever since I started working when I was a teenager, I would save money and I would never put like more money on my credit card than I knew I had. And that has carried over. But I mean, I know so many people.
That's how you're supposed to do
it. Yes, yes. But you know, it's so
But it's an
tempting.
It's an industry that's relying on people fucking up.
Exactly. Right, right. The problem is that a bank makes money out of uneducated people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And
kind of like just, Herbalife or like a lot of other industries.
By uneducated, I mean like uneducated in that system.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
On the lack the knowledge of how they
how you didn't
their
understand
game works.
How your interest payments
but
work.
But it also preys on people
like
who
immigration.
Have, yes.
Everything
yes.
is made more
kind of like capitalism
than it needs to be.
But like people, you know, who maybe have an emergency or whatever.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I came to the States, I got a job in college as a tour guide, and like at the admissions office doing like various things. And I don't know why, like I was doing various things. None of your business.
you've already established you're a gig worker for a long time.
It's neither here nor there what I was doing at the admissions office, but so I would get, first I was like, okay, I have a check. How do I get money? And then it's like, oh, you need to get a bank. And it's like, okay. So I like, they told me go to the Bank of America because a lot of the international students like do the Bank of America. And then I like walked to the Bank of America and I got an account there. And then, my job would do direct deposit to my bank. But then, you know, mistakes happen. Someone forgot to do something and I didn't get paid for that week for some reason, right? Some bureaucratic reason.
Yeah.
And I kept operating as if I had like, I mean, we're talking about like, I thought I had like $400 in my account and I kept like eating.
I kept doing basic survivalized. God damn.
And then I go to an ATM and I see that I have, I think, like -$600 in my account. And then I was so confused because I had never contemplated or heard of an account being negative.
Yeah,
that I had never in my life. I did not understand. I just saw a red number and I did not understand. And then like this person just coldly explains to me like, well, you should have known that you were overdrafting. So like every purchase that you made like above $7, we charge an additional $20 for that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And it was like truly like it was something like some bread and bananas and like a few sandwiches ended up costing me like hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
Ugh. And it wasn't till like 3 years after that like one of the happiest days of my life was like closing my Bank of America account.
Yeah.
And just telling them, you know, it's always games with you people and I always lose. So I don't want to play anymore.
Damn.
So give me my $4.63 in cash.
Yes. I want it in pennies.
I want it in pennies. Oh. And I will walk out of here.
Triumph.
Amazing. Yeah, fuck them. And like, and it's not like they don't have a mechanism to be like, hey, you overdrafted and we shut your account down.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you allow me to spend money?
Right. There should
why
be a floor that says money? Like, okay, when you hit zero,
declined.
That's it. Declined.
Declined.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
they
then
go,
I could,
oh, no, well, so then you can keep your life going. We don't want to interrupt.
That drove me insane. Mm-hmm. She was like, well, say you're driving upstate. I'm like, What?
Yeah.
What? Lady, what? Say I'm driving upstate.
Yeah, in your car.
Say I like take the kids upstate. Yeah. It's like what? Say I'm driving upstate.
Oh, that's so funny you bring that up because like we. Like, there's, like, an episode of the podcast that I'm dying to do that's just about going upstate. Like,
yeah. Like, everybody does it.
The culture of going upstate.
Everybody does it.
And you guys are welcome to join. Because I'm, like, obsessed with that idea of, like, yeah, going, you know, going upstate to my second home or whatever.
I know.
Well, that's a good place to leave off with the vision of going upstate. We've got about 5 minutes left on the hour.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like John Early has dedicated big chunks of his
set. Oh, my God, yes.
To the oeuvre of going upstate.
Yeah. Oh, my God, fuck.
Yeah. No, it's something that we all deserve, though. You know, as people who strive and suffer in this urban metropolis, just covered in dirt and grime, we should be able to just have a lark, you know, just go jaunt through like a park with willow trees.
They should
next
be making it as easy as possible.
Like, well, I mean, you know, it is easy because we've been making so much in the city that we can invest outside.
Yeah, they haven't raised that Metro North fare at all. Like, you know, right. It's like it was when I was a kid, it was like 12, and now it's like 18 or something. Like, I don't know, ugh.
Dang.
It's like.
Yeah, and the rent is too damn high.
It's too, I mean, I will get on that track forever, but you're right. We should wrap up. And do we have any last minute plug? I mean, we know we talked about your special coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That looks incredible. It looks like, you know, like a show that. Like a show from the 50s that like did bits about like the Jetsons idea of what like future comedy would look
very,
like.
Very there's much so informed by that.
There's so many clear things and so many shiny things.
Yes, a lot of clear and a lot of shiny, and like weirdly analog. Because there's a little conveyor belt.
Yeah, like yeah, oh, it's so Jetsons.
The lazy season of comedy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, everyone should watch that. It's coming out really soon and it's going to be amazing and everyone should watch.
And we're going to start writing season 2.
Yeah.
So
sick. Soon.
Yeah. Two weeks.
Two weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for your time. Like, it's delightful to catch up with y'all. Like, the remained
nice
a huge fan.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in. Yay.
Yay.
Okay. All everybody. Let's have fun.
Yeah. Let's have
Bye.
Fun.
Bye.
If you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy, it doesn't matter if you drive a limousine, it really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck, I don't care if you just drive a limousine, it doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari, I really don't care cause I just love your company. Let's have fun, let's have fun, let's have fun. Let's have fun, let's have fun, let's have fun. Let's have fun, lots of fun, let's have fun. Let's have fun, let's have fun, lots of fun.